getting connected and strengthening our connection may be a more appropriate terminology to use, because there are so many of the things that we've talked about this year on in our Sunday night series on connections. So many of those basic things are a part of us as a church family. Things that we are connected with by virtue of the fact that we're members of this congregation, but a lot of these things, we need to strengthen our connections with those. And one of the things that we thought would be a really good thing to talk about is our mission work and the things that we do under the heading of mission. Tremendous amount of our budget every year goes to mission work, and generally what we're thinking about when we talk about mission work, we're usually thinking in terms of work far off away across the ocean many times, or at least in another country, work that we help to support, or things of that nature. But as we know, mission work can be done across town. It can be done across the back fence. So many things that we can do in the efforts of reaching out to others with the gospel could appropriately be put under the heading of mission work. But generally, we're talking about the efforts that we participate in that are often a long way away from home. Now, in that fact, there is the explanation for why we probably need to get a little bit better connected with a lot of our mission work. Because other than the one or two or three of us that have regular contact and conversations with those in the mission field that we support, the vast majority of the congregation just sees our mission work as that place over there in that country or that country, that place. Tonight, I want to go over some things with you that may help you to get a little bit better understanding of where these places are. And I'm going to confess one other thing to you. I've gone back and I've pulled up some points and questions from some of our previous discussions. So if you've got a notebook there and you're taking notes and you look back to the first discussion we had in October on this subject, you'll see that that question was there in that lesson too. Mission work, what is it? And so I think we do need to review that again. Mission work is any work that we endeavor to spread the gospel, to broaden the borders of the Lord's kingdom, to bring more people to Christ that are away from this congregation, away from us. We've got all kinds of headings and names and words that we use. And you know, it just dawned on me, there must have been a bomb threat over here on this side, Mike. Nobody wants to sit with you on this side, but everybody is filling this side up. Maybe it's just that you folks haven't risen to the level of Mike and John Michael and some of the others over there. I'm sorry, I make a big deal about this from time to time. But what we need to do is not move from here over here. We just need to bring more people in to fill this side up. That's really what we need to do. So what is mission work? Well, mission work, we talk about our work in Mexico. We talk about our work in Thailand. We talk about our work in Tanzania. We talk about, in fact, Tom mentioned in his prayer, the work in Brookings, South Dakota, where Brother Jim Mettenbrink is living and working. Jim was a member of this congregation for many years, and for a long time we supported his efforts in Russia. We help with the funding and the organizing and so forth of a great deal of translating work that benefits the the work that goes on in Russia. And so there are a lot of different facets to our mission work, and I'm not really sure where that term ever originated from. You know, we've got Paul's missionary journeys in the book of Acts. But beyond that, we don't find a source that gives us that exact wording, that exact terminology. Where did that come from? Mission work. I'm sure that if you dug into it and searched back through history and noted the things that were referred to and places that were referred to as missions, and then we started talking about mission efforts, and then there was a problem around the end of the 1900s or the 1800s, I'm sorry, with missionary societies that began to work their way into the practice of Christianity. So the word mission is an interesting word. And I'm not so sure I know why we use that word other than to denote something that we go to unusual, not unusual in the sense of abnormal, but more than the routine effort to spread the gospel and to carry the gospel to a certain place. Kind of like Paul and Barnabas did in the book of Acts, and Silas, and Timothy, and those who got involved. So our mission work is the work that we do towards spreading the gospel and carrying the message of salvation to people who don't have it or who have not had anyone to come and explain it to them. Now, I put these slides together kind of in a little bit of a fog, and I didn't do a real good job of memorizing which one comes next, and I don't have my notes, but I believe I'm going. Okay, here we go. I'm on track now. I want us to look at a little bit of information about the fields in which we are working. We've been involved in the Mexico mission work ever since 1993. When I first began preaching at this congregation in 1993, I kind of brought a connection with me to the Mexico mission work. The congregation up at Georgia Road had the oversight of that work, and I'd been very much involved in the work as their minister and had done a lot of traveling for the work and communicating and so forth. And so when I came here to begin working with what was then the Highland Gardens congregation in Montgomery, the elders there were very much interested in the Mexico work, and they wanted to get on board and to help with that work. And one thing led to another, and then after a while, the congregation at Georgia Road began to diminish a little bit, and their elders at that time came to our elders here and proposed that our elders take over the oversight of the work in Mexico that we've been involved in, because we were very knowledgeable of it and interested in it. And so our elders here agreed to do that. And since that time, our elders have had the oversight of the Mexico mission work that began back in the early 1950s by Brother Joe Greer and some who helped him in those works and efforts. Everybody knows where Mexico is. You might not realize that Mexico, the nation of Mexico, the land area of Mexico, is about one-fifth the size of the United States, strictly with land area considered. The population of Mexico is about one-third the population of the United States. Now, if I'm figuring this right, if it's one-third the population of the U.S., but it's one-fifth of the land area of the U.S., one-fifth is smaller than one-third, and so that means that Mexico is more densely populated than the United States is, if you're looking purely at population and land area. The interesting thing about Mexico, and you may have known this, that 78% of those people there in Mexico claim to be Catholic insofar as their religious preference. And Mexico, if you've ever studied their history, you've seen a lot of involvement by the Catholic Church in Mexico, even in their government at times in various periods in history. I can tell you for sure that the Catholic presence, the presence of the Catholic doctrine in Mexico is a pretty big deal. It's a very strong factor. It poses some challenges in evangelizing in Mexico that don't exist in some places that are not so saturated in Catholicism. The annual worker's salary in Mexico supposedly is somewhere about $22,000 a year. If you go on the internet and look up the annual salary of a worker in the state of Alabama, and these kind of numbers are a little bit, well, let's just say we understand better why politicians use a lot of numbers and statistics, because they can tell us a lot of different things depending on which angle we're looking at it from. But the state of Alabama claims that the average worker in this state that we live in is paid about $48,000. And so we could say that the average worker in Mexico is paid way less than half of what the average worker in Alabama. Bottom line is the country of Mexico is impoverished, would probably be a little bit stronger term than we need to use, but Mexico is not a place where there is a lot of wealth saturating the average people. Most people that we deal with, for sure, in our work in preaching and teaching in Mexico are poor people. People who do not have many of the things that you and I have. There is one major hurdle in evangelizing Mexico, and it is seen in the fact that every house in Mexico has a computer hooked up to the internet. The hurdle that I'm referring to is the hurdle of worldliness. I believe it would be fair to say that the entire nation of Mexico, and especially in view of the common people living there, have become far more worldly minded and worldly connected in the past couple of decades. When I first started going to Mexico, on rare occasions you would go into someone's home that had a television set. Now, as I say, every home has a computer and it's hooked up to the internet. They may have a dirt floor. They may have a roof framed with poles and covered with palm fronds, palm branches woven together to form a somewhat waterproof cover. But they all have the internet. That makes things really tough. Not that the internet is our number one enemy, but the internet does pose some of the major problems, especially among impoverished areas and among impoverished people. They are more susceptible to many of the temptations and worldliness that come through those avenues. We support 10 men in Mexico, native preachers, living in towns and cities scattered all over Mexico. We've got one on the west coast. We've got several on the east coast. We have one or two situated near the middle of the country, close to the federal state of Mexico City. They are in large cities, and they are in rural areas where the population is very sparse and scattered. You might say that we've got a very wide assortment of opportunities in the mission work that we support in Mexico. And every month we send $4,000 and some change to Mexico to those men in partial support of most of them, enabling them to spend more and more of their time in preaching and teaching and helping young small churches to grow. The typical congregation in Mexico does not have elders or deacons. The typical congregation in Mexico is very small, and I think it would be fair to say fairly weak. There are all kinds of problems that are peculiar to the various circumstances that we find among the brethren in Mexico. But in all fairness, that would be a statement you could say about any location on this earth. We've been involved in the Mexico work in this congregation for a long, long time. We also are involved in supporting a missionary, a native preacher, Brother Yusuf Mdaki, in Tanzania. Now, here's where we get into the idea of, well, we support some work in Tanzania. Where's Tanzania? I don't know. It's in Africa somewhere. Well, you know, you recognize the image of Africa there. Tanzania is on the east coast of Africa. It's near Kenya. It's not far from Somalia. You've heard that name in the news over the past few years, especially. The country of Tanzania has a population of about 67,500 people, land mass of 364,000 square miles. Tanzania is 1.4 times bigger than Texas, and the population is 2.25 times more than the population of Texas. Now, if you're like me, I don't know that much about Texas either. These are just some numbers maybe that can help you relate to some things. But the population in Tanzania is somewhat dense in many of its areas. The large cities tend to be very densely populated. The annual salary of a worker in Tanzania is a little over $6,000 a year. The people in Tanzania are very poor. Brother Yusuf Mdaki is a gospel preacher. He dedicates his full time. He has others who help support him in addition to us. He travels every week among several different congregations, I suppose all within a radius of 75 to 100 miles, preaching and teaching, and every month he sends us a report by email telling us congregation by congregation what's going on, what their needs are, what their accomplishments have been. He is very organized, and I got to say that from the standpoint of supporting eldership, if every missionary could be like Yusuf Mdaki, it would be a much easier task to know that your money, the Lord's money that goes through your hands, is being well spent. We've been involved in the work in Tanzania for several years now. Brother Jimmy G. First helped us get involved in that. Jimmy and his family were in Tanzania for 10 years, and the work there has boundless opportunities. Now, it was only two or three weeks ago that Brother Michael Mayo, whom we support in Thailand. By the way, if I had asked you to draw a silhouette of the country of Thailand, would you have been able to do that? And And I know I should have included an image showing it located on the world map to give us a little bit better idea of just exactly where over there Thailand is. But there's very little that I need to say if you were here and heard Brother Michael Mayo's report. He is doing a tremendous work there in Thailand, and he utilizes some very humanitarian things to help create inroads and opportunities among the people and among their needs. We first got involved with Brother Mayo in helping him to furnish these water purification stations that he showed us some pictures of. And then we helped him to purchase some copy reproduction equipment for the purpose of printing Bibles, because they did not have a source to be able to get Bibles in the dialect that they need the most to use in the work there. His work puts him in touch with, and he capitalizes on this fact, his work puts him in touch with hundreds and hundreds of young people. And he told about the annual camp that they had recently had when he was here with us, where they had all of these young people that they brought in from surrounding mountainous villages, spending a couple of days just going and get and bringing those young people. And then after they got them all back home, they were flooded with requests from all of those places wanting people to come and preach the gospel. You talk about a golden opportunity. That land is filled with opportunity. And we are privileged indeed to be able to be connected with Brother Michael Mayo and to help with his support in Thailand. Thailand is a large country, 198,000 square miles, 70 million people, 74% of the area of Texas, 2.5 times more population-wise than Texas. The average monthly salary of a worker in Thailand is about $2,800. Golden opportunity there. Now, let's conclude with a couple of questions that we talked a little bit about before. Why do mission work? Do you know there are some churches that don't do any mission work? There are a few. I've known of a few in my days. Is this something that we have to do? Is this something that is that important? Is it something that really deserves a major portion of our annual budget every year? Well, why? Number one, the Lord commanded us to do it. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's really as far as you need to go to understand the impact of the why do mission work and the command that the Lord gave. The fact is, the Lord expects the gospel to be carried by those who have it to those who need it, who do not have it, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is also another reason or two. There is the example that we have in the New Testament regarding the early church. We could look to the book of Acts, to a passage that we've studied just recently in Acts chapter 11, that verse that everybody can quote, but that not too many people know about the surrounding context, where the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. How'd that come about? Well, it came about when the church at Jerusalem heard about this little group of people in Antioch who were beginning to to meet and worship. And so they sent Barnabas there to check it out and to see if he could help. And Barnabas, you remember, then went and found Saul, still called Saul then at that time, and brought him to help there in Antioch. And they spent a couple of years preaching and teaching, and that church began to grow tremendously. And then the next thing you know, that church learns about that little church that was just starting out that turned into a big church, really quickly learned about a need back in Judea because of the famine. And so they sent Paul and Barnabas with a collection that they had taken up to go and take that relief to the brethren in Judea, and they delivered it to the elders. And then they came back to Antioch after that. And what was it that the leaders of the church at Antioch decided to do? Well, they decided to send Paul and Barnabas at the urging of the Holy Spirit. Of course, they decided to send them on what would turn into not one, not two, but at least three missionary journeys, for the sake of preaching the gospel and teaching people. You could look at the first chapter of the letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he complimented those people in that little church that had had such a rocky beginning with a tremendous amount of persecution, and he praised them because he said, "The word of the Lord has gone forth from you in to all of Macedonia and Achaia." That's got to be a reference to mission work. Those folks were involved in spreading the gospel. Similar references were made in Paul's letters to other congregations of the church. Their efforts to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there are some really good reasons why we do mission work. One of the most compelling reasons, at least to me, is the fact that in the grand scheme of things, from the standpoint of the spiritual view, mission work is the only logical thing to do. Because people all over the world don't have the gospel. We do. And we need to share what we have that is such a valuable thing with those who need it. And so mission work is one of the most logical things that we could ever do. Last point. This is a repeat also. And I think this one was so important that we may need to talk about this one every month. How can we connect more solidly with our mission efforts? Well, by praying, obviously. Everything that we do needs to enjoy the mention of it in prayer. Everything, every effort that we put forth, if it's for the sake of the Lord, deserves to be on that list of things that we ask for God's help in. Let's be praying every day for our mission efforts. There's also the providing. There are many ways that you and I, as members of this church family, can help to provide needed things. It's not unusual at all for a point to be raised about a particular need in the mission field. And I've told you before, and I'll say it again, this is one of the most giving congregations I've ever been around. And when you find out that something is urgently needed, and we say, if you'd like to if you'd like to be directly involved in this, the elders are going to send some money to this cause, but if you'd like to contribute more to it, you can give us a check at the back door. And I leave here with pockets filled with checks and cash. And I praise you for that. There's no better way to have a solid connection with the work that we do here than through the efforts to provide for. Often in ways and means that are above and beyond the normal. And then, of course, the encouraging. You caught me flat-footed when I made this point back at the first of the month. Because you began asking for all of that contact information for our mission workers in various places, and I didn't have them all organized and available at my fingertips to share with you. We've since made some improvements in that, and David's been able to put a list in the member area on our website, and we anticipate adding more information to that as well. But I told you about some experiences of our family and how encouraging it was to hear from folks back home when we were in the mission field. All of these people need our encouragement. One of the greatest ways that we can... This is a worldly phrase, not worldly sinful, but a phrase that is used often in the world. One of the ways that you and I as individuals can own a part of that work is through our efforts of encouraging it. Let's don't be the kind of people who say, yeah, we've got some work going on over there in Tanzania. I think it's in Africa. I'm not sure. Maybe we've got a few people we support in Mexico. Learn more about them. Contact them. Encourage them. And strengthen the connections that we have with our mission works. If you are not a child of God, there will never be a better time than right now to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, the most needful thing in your life right now is to come back and be restored. And so if you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we're going to sing this song to encourage you, invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.